I think I'd like to say a little something about all three of the readings, because all three of them have a most wonderful message, and it all seems to be moving toward a universal message. Let's look at the first one from Acts of the Apostles. Peter is entering the house of what they would call a pagan, a non-Jew. And Peter, for a Jew, comes to a most amazing conclusion for the first pope. He says, "I see that God shows no partiality. In every nation, anyone who fears him is acceptable to God." This is not regular Jewish doctrine. And wouldn't you know it, at that very moment, the Spirit descends on the whole group of pagans. This is a clear example where baptism doesn't bring the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit comes first, and then the church comes along and says, "Well, we better back it up. The Spirit has been given, so we'll baptize them too." This is not the way we normally think. But what it proclaims, of course, is the ultimate, utter freedom of God. God can give God's Spirit whenever God wants and is not dependent upon the ministrations of any church. We hope we're helping God. Sometimes we wonder, of course, if we're getting in the way. And then the second reading takes a little further. This is from the first letter of John. And again, a rather amazing message. "Whoever loves is born of God and knows God." Now, that's, I hope, the way you were taught. But actually, the way most church people think is, if I read the Bible, I'm born of God. Or if I go to church, I know God. Or if I obey the commandments, I know God. He says, whoever loves is born of God and knows God. And the converse is true, too. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. So he makes an equation between God and love itself. It's almost scandalous. And then, in the gospel, Jesus is going to take that to its logical conclusion. He's going to say that no greater love do we have than to love our neighbor. Now, you'd expect him to say no greater love than to love God. But he says, no. There is no greater love than to lay down your life for your friend. Human horizontal love between us. All three readings present an amazing message of the centrality, the importance, the beginning and the end of everything. It's all about love. And inside of that mystery, we know God. If we stay outside of that mystery of the exchange of life and love, we cannot know God. When you hear that word commandment in the gospel, I'm sure most of you think of the Ten Commandments, but he makes it very clear in his final line, "This is my commandment, love one another." So Jesus has said in another place, the entire law and all the prophets are summed up in the two great commandments, to love God and to love one another. I wonder, and I can only say this about myself, if we almost don't want to hear this because this is a commandment none of us can ever live up to. We'd like to whittle down to a little commandment, like come to church on Sunday so you can leave here. You all feel like you obeyed the commandment. But who of us in this room can say we have loved yet? We're all beginners. We're all starting anew every day and failing anew every day. So it keeps us in utter reliance upon the mercy, the compassion, and the grace of God. So you could say God gave us a commandment that we could not obey. So we would have to depend upon that descent of the Holy Spirit upon us pagans who still cannot really understand the greatness, the goodness, the wonder, the impossibility of the gospel. That it asks of all of us something we, apart, alone, separate, cannot do. But only living in that love, in communion, He in us and we in Him, as Jesus says in another place, there we find ever once in a while a love flowing through us and toward us and from us that is bigger than our own. We know it's not me doing it. There was a wonderful biography of a Dutch woman who had been imprisoned by the Nazis in her own country and had been treated very, very poorly by the guards. And she finally made it out and was released. And she said she always feared one day meeting the guard who so mistreated her and her family. And she knew if she ever did, she would just want to yell at him and beat on his chest and call him bad names. And sure enough, she's walking down the street of Amsterdam, and here he comes. The Nazi guard, all doing fine now, all over and forgotten. And she can feel herself sweating and panting, wanting to run in the other direction. And she says, only at the last minute was she able to make eye contact, raise her hand, shake his, and say, good morning. I am. And gave him her name. That was enough punishment, I'm sure. But she said the grace to raise that hand, to make eye contact and to say good morning only came in the very last second. She had to face her own weakness, her own impossibility, her own incapacity to love. And she was led to the edge where she had to rely upon a love that was larger than her own. And then she knew that she was inhabited by a life larger than her own.